Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Jastrzemski! Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Hour number two, it's 8:03 here on this Tuesday evening. It's JJ, John Jastrzemski. We are keeping you company right here on the Fan. Get aboard, 877-337-6666. And, you know, it's nice to have something to feel good about. And I guess you guys with these Yankee and Mets, you know, best wins, worst losses, we're going to have a whole lot more fun with this in the hours to come. But this next guest, in my opinion, is one of the best play-by-play guys in all of sports. And whether he's doing a baseball game, whether he's doing a basketball game, whether he's doing the golf, he's on a top level. I think he's in that upper echelon. And I'm very, very thankful that we're going to be joined by the great Brian Anderson, the voice of the Milwaukee Brewers, Turner Sports. Brian, John Jastrzemski, how are you, man? You staying safe?
Hey, John, I'm doing great, man. That was quite an introduction. I'm not going to be able to live up to that. So thank you.
I think that's a bunch of garbage, Brian. You absolutely are. I'm not the least bit worried about that.
Yeah, man, we're good. I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and obviously these are just really interesting, strange, disappointing times we're in. But, you know, we're doing our thing, and I had a chance to talk to Brewers manager Craig Counsell today, so that was a nice distraction. We were able to talk baseball and, you know, what might be ahead if these guys can work something out. So I think we're all anxious to get back and get sports back, and for us, broadcasters, to get back to do what we do for a living.
Brian, let's start there, because normally this time of the year, you're coming off a run of doing March Madness. Then you're going into the NBA playoffs, and oh, by the way, you're working in, you know, hundreds of Brewers games leading into the MLB postseason. How weird has it been for you, a guy who works as much as you do, to be in this position where you probably haven't called the game, what, going back to early mid-March?
Right, yeah. The last game I called was March 10th. I did an NBA on TNT game in San Antonio. I did the match couple of Sundays ago with, you know, Phil and Tiger and Brady and Peyton Manning. So that was a live event at least. But yeah, the last game I called was March, and I've been home ever since. And it kind of is giving me a glimpse into retirement, I suppose. I've enjoyed it. I'm thankful that I work for two companies that have kept me on board. One was a reduced salary, but, you know, understandable, but at least, you know, I'm still drawing paychecks and, you know, ready to, for the leagues and the seasons to start. So I'm thankful for that. And I understand that a lot of people aren't, and they don't have that luxury, but I've really used this time just to be home with my family, be present with my wife and daughter. My daughter's in college, and so she's been home with us, and it's been great. I mean, as much as I want to do games, and I'm disappointed that this all got shut down, it has been a really interesting experience for me to be home with my family, doing different projects around the house, and, you know, kind of getting in the way I used to back in my younger days, and, you know, working on things around the house and building stuff. And so it's been really fun. But again, I know I'm fortunate, and it's a luxury to have that. So we are all ready to get back. I think my wife's really ready for me to get back and get on the road and get away from here for a minute.
Well, BA, I think that makes two of us, because right now I'm doing the radio show from a one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn, New York. So I'm sure that a lot of significant others out there are very much looking forward to that day where you're either back in a ballpark, or in my case, you're back in a studio. And look, I hope you're going to be back in a ballpark, BA, sooner rather than later. From your conversation that you had with Craig Counsell earlier, who, in my opinion, is one of the best managers in all of baseball, do you get the sense that he believes, and you believe for that matter, we're moving closer and closer to the start of the 2020 Major League campaign?
Yeah, I think so. But I will say, I mean, I asked him if the animosity between the players' union and the owners is real, and he agreed. And, you know, he's been a player rep before in his playing days. Now he's obviously a manager. And he just signed a contract extension as well. So that's the scary part for all of us, is that there's a year left on the agreement. So next year is the last year of the current agreement. Now, what they're trying to solve now is different. So if you're trying to combine some of those elements from the agreement that they've signed, you know, that could get very tricky. But it is concerning. I think they'll work it out. I think they've had labor peace for a long, long time. You got to go back to 94, obviously. But it is concerning. And I would say, and just, you know, I think Craig would agree, but we talk about it a lot, but there has been an overhaul on the game. And not just what fans would see on the product on the field, but from a broadcasting perspective, from a scouting perspective, the way they're going to be structuring the minor leagues, you know, they're going to be cutting a lot of minor league teams. So all of us that are in the game, these are conversations that we're having all the time. My brother is assistant to the general manager with the Texas Rangers, so we have these conversations a lot. And we don't know what the game's going to look like. It's probably not going to feel much different from the user's end, from the audience end, or a fan side of it. But inside the game, it's all changing, you know, from minor league teams to how many players you can have in your organization, how many big league players, the speed up rules, all of it, the way we broadcast games. Are we going to be doing games from a studio to save money, which we're going to do this year if we come back? So it's I don't know. It's not, I don't think, know if it's bad or it's just different, or we're all just trying to take it in as fast as we can. And knowing that, you know, they're definitely overhauling the game. And when you have a shortened season, that's going to be an asterisk season anyway. We might start to see some of these things be put into play in a test run, especially on the broadcasting end. So it's all new. It's a new frontier, man, in the game of baseball. There's no question.
B.A., you mentioned the idea of doing a game from a studio. Is that something you've done before?
Yeah, I've done it. For most of the sports I've ever done. I mean, I honestly don't know if people even notice, but prior to our NBA on TNT Tuesday package that we launched this year, that, remember, replaced Players Only. So that was the second half of the season, that the Tuesday package. So Ian Eagle did a game with Stan Van Gundy, and then I had the other game with Jimmy Jackson. Prior to that starting, we were doing a Tuesday game, but it was airing on NBA TV, and we branded it NBA TV Center Court. And those games, half of them, were from our Atlanta studio, where we would take feeds. It was a kind of a big test run where we'd bring in different feeds. We'd bring in audio. We'd pump audio into the studio. And thankfully, Turner's, they're great, and they let me, at least in my little station, Greg Anthony was my partner, but they would let me bring in different feeds. So I had like the RoboCams from each goal that I could always see, aside from the middle monitor, which is called program, which is what you see on television. So I was able to move my eyes around and see the benches and see fouls that were called and whatnot. That's the real challenge for a play-by-play announcer. To answer your question, have I done it? I have done it. Baseball is going to be the hardest sport to do studio games from. I mean, you can talk to Boog Shambi and Jason Benetti and Carl Ravitch and all those guys who are trying to do KBO games right now. It's just really difficult because the ball flies everywhere, and you got to lay back a beat before you make a call, and it gets really challenging with baseball. So the linear sports that go back and forth, they're pretty easy. Golf, you do basically from a studio always, even though you may be in an 18th tower or whatnot. You're taking everything off the monitor, so that's no different. But baseball is going to be the biggest challenge of all the sports.
We got the great Brian Anderson over at Turner Sports, who had the opportunity to do an event, BA, that we were all fired up to watch. And maybe it's because, you know, these last couple of months, I'm getting sick and tired of watching these old games. I mean, there are plenty of great ones, don't get me wrong. But the idea of watching something that's live and seeing that competition, I mean, there's nothing like it. You can't duplicate it. So for you, in this post-COVID-19 world, you're basically doing one of the first live events that we're all fired up to watch. And, you know, from a broadcasting element, you and Chuck are all spaced out. You know, you could see the precautions that you guys took in order to do the broadcast, you know, in a terrific way, but do so in a socially distant way. How was that overall experience? Like, did it throw you for a little bit of a loop, or is this something that the minute you got down there, the minute you started shooting the breeze with Chuck and the guys and started talking golf, you were A-okay?
Yeah, it was a little, probably somewhere in between. You know, from a play-by-play perspective, it was totally different. You know, we brought an extra truck, so normally we would have everybody in kind of the same production truck, but in this case, graphics had their own space, and the video tape and the tape machines, the replay room we call it, was, they had their own truck. And so you had four giant production trucks really for a scaled down crew. So it wasn't just us in the booth. It was, you know, it was the production team, and a lot of it was RF. A lot of it was wireless. A lot of the cameras that were on the carts, that's all wireless stuff. The wireless microphones, the wireless ear pieces. So it takes personnel and manpower not only to set those up, but also maintain those. And then, of course, the deluge comes. It's a monsoon. It's pouring down rain, which is jacking with all of our equipment. And so my summary of it is, when we went in there, we knew things were going to be different. But when we did a rehearsal on Saturday, because the buy-in from the players, and they knew they had to drive the bus on this, they were all mic'd up. We added the element of the earpieces. We added the element of the, you know, the NASCAR cart cams, which was the same rigs they use in NASCAR, but we put them in the golf carts. And we weren't even able to use them all, by the way. We were only able to use one or two cameras per cart. We had four set up.
Wow.
The shot that nobody really saw was, we had a camera set up above the golf clubs, so you were looking down. You could talk about what clubs they had in their bag. Of course, you know, Tiger Woods' famous 2-iron. You could see what club they pulled. So we had a whole lot more than we were able to show because of the rain. We had a blimp there that couldn't fly. So really, the competition was great. The inner competition in the game of golf that Tom Brady was having, and the amateurs, you know, he and Peyton Manning were having, the conversations we were able to pick up. It was just a lot of technology in the rain on a scaled-down crew with everybody collaborating, including the competitors. You know, sitting down with Phil and Tiger and Tom and Peyton, just, I think we could do this, and this could be funny here, and why don't you, we basically use the carts as a confessional station. So when those guys felt like, hey, they got a little story or we could interact with them, you know, we kind of designated some areas to do that. And then, you know, to have that as an idea and to throw that out there with all those alpha dogs, and then to actually pull it off in this collaborative effort that everybody knows how hard each person's job is and what they're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish. And yet we did it, and it was great. It was just such a cool experience to be involved in that kind of collaboration and then have the rain and add those added challenges that we overcame. And, you know, our goal to go in there was to entertain, have some laughs, and raise a bunch of money. And we had more entertainment than we thought, more laughs than we thought, better competition than we thought, and we raised about $7 million more than even our biggest goal was. We knew we were going to be between 10 and 13 million, which is significant, but to pop 20 million in a single afternoon and run a telethon in the middle of a golf competition that's not really a competition but is, was just like one of the greatest things I've ever been a part of, and I'm so glad that they asked me to do it.
Well, you did an incredible job, and BA, we were all wondering, because listen, you know Tom Brady's probably the greatest to ever do it. You got Peyton Manning, who's one of the all-time greats, and how would they translate on the golf course? Because as a guy put around earlier today, it's hard, man. It ain't easy. I don't care what kind of athlete you are. The mental game, and now you got all these millions of people watching in their living rooms trying to see, is Tom Brady or Peyton Manning going to hack it up like I might do on my local course? And, you know, it took Brady a little while to get going. He might have had the shot at a tournament as far as I'm concerned. And Peyton looked like a guy who was pretty darn comfortable. So, you know, as you're going through it, as you maybe got a sense for what kind of players they are, were you impressed with the way each quarterback could handle his golf game?
I was really impressed how they both dialed it in. So Peyton was a little shaky off the tee. I think two of his first three tee shots were in the palmetto bushes. But he had a really good approach game, short game. You know, he and Tiger were a nice team. They get along well. They know each other well. They've been playing a lot of golf. So he was pretty steady, minus the tee shots. And he did have a couple of, penalty area tee shots. Brady was a totally different story. Brady became, in the middle of his nightmare, became the most relatable person that you never thought Tom Brady could be. I mean, the guy is pretty much robotic. And I agree with you, the greatest quarterback that's ever lived, the most accomplished. He's still on a quest for more. His greatness speaks for itself. But, you know, to see him struggle and fight it, and he must have hit 1,000 balls in 3 days because he hadn't been playing much because he's been training for the football season. So he was an emergency crash course, cram mode to get his golf game back together, and he just couldn't find it. Now Charles Barkley's in his ear. Charles Barkley's challenging him to a contest and offering to give him strokes. Like, that's as low as you can get. When Charles, who finishes dead last at every celebrity event he plays in, is now challenging you and willing to give you strokes, and then in Brady style just holes out from about 150 yards. And his reaction said everything. He didn't go crazy. He didn't go nuts. He just, like, looked at the camera and said, "Suck it, Chuck." It was so great. It was so fun to watch him just dial it in. And then when they got to the back nine, he and Phil, now they're playing alternate shot. They went under par in an alternate shot. You don't see Ryder Cup pairings do that. I mean, under par in an alternate shot is really hard to do. And, Phil was hitting it great. Tom dialed it in, and it was a really good competition. They made a nice comeback and had a chance to actually turn it into a playoff in the dark, if they make birdie on that last hole. So it was really fun. I was super impressed with the way those guys hung in there in the rain, with all the equipment on, the earpiece, the microphone, knowing that the world's watching them, their phones are blowing up, because Brady especially, he's all over Twitter. He splits his pants. He just drops trowel right there on the eighth tee box and puts his rain gear on. So the whole thing, he was great. And he took it well. And then you saw his real championship medal when he turned it on the back nine.
B.A., it's got to be a riot spending some time with Charles Barkley. I don't know how well you know Charles, but my goodness. I mean, whether it's the TNT stuff with basketball, March Madness, the golf. I mean, he's a man's man every which way. Like, just listening to Charles give Brady the business. I mean, there are very few people who could get away with giving Tom Brady the business. Even with his lousy golf game, he's one of them, B.A.
He is. We call it TOCCS, which is an acronym, T-O-C-C-S, Things Only Charles Can Say. And Charles has a lot of those, and that was one of them for sure. And he's a great guy, and I'm so glad to be his teammate. And, I've been with Turner Sports for 13 years and really in the NBA since 2014. So that's kind of when we started, working together. We weren't sitting next to each other. I'd be at a game. He's in studio, but been at a lot of events with him, and he's the same guy on the air as he is off. But it was a thrill for me for the first time to sit next to him and have that eye contact and the body language. And, he's never done golf, so he was leaning on me and Trevor Immelman, when to get in, when to get out. And every time we kind of opened the door for him, like, to come in, Charles, this is your time, this is your window. Man, did he deliver, like, just perfect. He was so funny. And we had a great time, and he's just the best guy. He's super smart. He likes to play the dummy sometimes, but he's super intelligent. He's a great thinker. He always just has the pulse of what's going on, whatever's in front of him, good, bad, serious, funny. He's dialed in. So as a matter of fact, we've been texting, and Trevor too, Trevor Immelman. But I told those guys, had we been on this past Sunday compared to the Sunday prior, the whole thing would have taken on a much different tone, and none of us are scared of that. I think I told Charles and Trevor, Trevor grew up in South Africa. I mean, he was in the middle of apartheid. He knows race relations, just from a totally different perspective. And I told them both, I think America would have really loved your thoughts, whatever they were, which I don't know what they would have been, but that would have been, they would have been right on the money, and they're not afraid of that. And so that's the thing about Charles. You can go in any scenario. It can be lighthearted. It can be serious. It can be all of it. And he's going to deliver because he just has, he reads the room and he just knows the perfect tone always. And so he's a thrill to work with.
BA, final one, and you're fortunate enough to call so many great events, whether it's the match or the baseball postseason or the tournament or the NBA, you name it. I mean, you get to do it all. And now, because, you know, we've been in this period where you haven't done as many games, have you taken any moment to go back and listen to an old call, maybe smile over one of your favorites, maybe cringe over one you'd like to have back? Like, I know I've been there. I mean, listening to old shows from time to time, I go back and listen to something I did 5 or 6 years ago, I immediately want to turn it off. So, you know, every broadcast is different. Have you gone about that in any way?
That's such a great question, and I have. And I have been, you know, head down, moving forward, never look back for 26 years now. 9 years in the minor leagues. I was with the Spurs for 8 years on the air, Golf Channel for 4, Brewers, this is my 14th. And I just tried not to look back because I want to get better every day, improve my craft every day. And this shutdown has forced me into it. Two reasons. Number one, I've been able to spend a lot of time critiquing demos from young broadcasters. And I like doing that. I just don't have a chance to do it in the volume that I've done it. So I've been asked to do a lot of Zoom calls with universities and their comm schools or their J schools. So I've done that, and I've been giving out my email address to those students. So I've been listening to 5 or 6 demo links a week, and I just did 3 yesterday, and I'm really enjoying that, like the teaching part of it. But it's also forced me to go back and look at some of my own stuff. So the group, my agency there in New York, the Montag Group, they put together a little highlight reel, kind of like, you know, because I've been teaching all these young broadcasters how to build a demo. So I haven't built a demo for myself in a decade. You know, I haven't had to, thank God. I hope I don't ever have to. But I just decided, you know, let me go back and let's build a demo as if I was still looking for a job and back when I was in the minor leagues or, you know, when I was pursuing jobs. So I did that, and it just, for the first time in a long, long time, I was able to sit back and just, you know, the calls that were on this quote unquote demo, was it blew me away, you know, because I haven't thought about it that way. But to see, you know, a call from the NLCS, a walk-off homer, and then a call from the ALCS, and then March Madness, and then the PGA Championship, and all the NBA stuff, Steph Curry scoring 17 points in an overtime period. And, you know, even my agent, who's been with me forever, he's a good friend of mine, we were just laughing, you know, like, can you believe all the stuff they let me do? And so, because I haven't thought about it that way, and it actually got me a little anxious and a little uptight, and I needed to put that away and keep kind of moving forward, because one day I'll look back and reflect. But this little window has given me a chance to reflect a little bit, and I'm just so grateful, man. I'm grateful to the point where I've called a lot of my old mentors that I haven't, some of them I haven't talked to in years, and I've just to tell them thank you. Called some of my old bosses that hired me or gave me a chance or trusted me, and I've just been really intentional about sending emails to those folks or making phone calls and just letting them know how thankful and how grateful I am that they've helped me have this life that I love so much. And I love being at sporting events and calling games. So, yeah, I've been very reflective and very thankful about all of it.
BA, you're the best, man. Keep up the good work, whenever that may be. Continued success. And I'm hopeful, because Turner has the American League Championship Series this year, that
yeah,
you, my friend, will be doing some Yankees, I don't know, Astros, Yankees, A's. I don't care who the other team may be in the American League. I just hope, God willing, you safely are going to be doing the game somewhere in the Bronx, my friend. We could hope for that,
and
all right?
I love the idea that Yankees fans get to listen to Ron Darling for a whole series. That just,
oh, I know.
Nothing
never
makes me
complain.
Happy.
Even though Ronnie, you know, it's such hypocrisy because we all get Ron Darling here in New York. And listen, I'm a Yankee fan, Brian. He's as good as it gets. Listen, Severino showed up a half hour late. We all knew it.
Exactly. He is so good. I love that. I think the Yankees are going to be really good, too. And by the way, I think we're going to have expanded playoffs. I mean, that's kind of been the buzz. I think there may be multiple.
Are you cool with that, Brian?
Totally cool with it. I think it'd be great. Obviously, we're going to televise all that, so I'm better than cool with it.
There you go.
I mean, just for this year. You know, just
I agree. See, moving forward, I don't want to see it. Because, you know, the format works. That was always my thing, right? You have, you know, the five playoff teams. The wild card game's great. But if you're only going to play 70 or 80 games this year, I mean, you've got to get some more teams in the mix.
I love it. And it's going to, and people are going to be into it. And this is going to be happening like November, by the way. So it's going to be a really interesting year in baseball history. And I hope baseball can be, hope they can work out their differences and be the sport that it has always been. It's always been there when the country needs a release and needs a sport, a distraction. It's always been there, and I hope they don't let this opportunity pass them by because all the other leagues are getting it together, and they're all coming back, NHL, NFL, certainly the NBA. So I hope baseball doesn't miss their chance here.
Brian, amen to that. Continued success. Hopefully we'll do this again soon. All the best to you and
anytime,
the family, all right?
I'm happy to be with you anytime. You do a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's the great Brian Anderson, who, in my opinion, is one of the best broadcasters in the country. Turner Sports did the match. Outstanding stuff.